for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And as we've said before, 100% of everything that's given toward Lottie Moon is goes to our missionaries in the field. And so if you have an envelope or want to make a contribution toward that, you just put Lottie Moon on the memo portion of a check, 100% of that gift goes to helping our missionaries like this who are in the field, who need resources. And so don't get caught up in bureaucracy or if you're wondering it goes to pay for this other thing, this other Southern Baptist thing. None of it does that. They take all that money and guarantee it will go to our missionaries in the field. So that's why it's such an important, and I know they depend on that offering. They anxiously await to see those totals because it makes the difference between whether they have a vehicle or whether they don't have a vehicle to get around or to even just have the materials they need to minister to other people. Someone has made it possible through an anonymous gift for us to try something this year, and we're excited about that. It's online giving. I was told at a seminar a while back that millennials don't even write checks, don't even have checking accounts sometimes. And so we wanted to make another way for people to contribute. And so if you ever go to our webpage, it looks like this. That's what the first page of our webpage looks like. And you'll see it's at cbclife.us. And over on the far right, you click donate. Now, I took my phone and I took me less than 2 minutes to go through and I set up an account for my wife. So I'll show you how it worked. I go to the website, cbclife.us. That's the little banners you go through. I could just click on that Lottie Moon thing there, and it would take me to a giving channel. But I clicked up in the right-hand corner and click donate, then go down to online giving and click that. And then it takes me to this screen where I can create an account, or I can click that quick give thing if I don't want to put all my information in. And it takes me straight to a guest place where I can give through a debit card or credit card. But we wanted to give through a checking account and do scheduled giving. And so you scroll through there. This is me recording off my phone. That's why it took me a little bit of time to scroll down. I don't know why. And then you click submit if you want to give as a guest. But if you want to, and it's got that general budget thing, go down the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And that way your offering will make sure it goes to the right place. But say, for instance, I wanted to go ahead and set up an account because I wanted to give regularly, whatever. I click the login button. I can create an account and then put all my information in. I'd already done that. So this is my wife's email address. You can type out my wife's email address right now and send her all types of spam. She would really like that. And there's her password, which is password. So now you can hack her email or her budget. But you can go in here and you've got give now and then scheduled giving or my account if you make changes. But see where it adds the and then you can go to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and click that, or student ministry, as Travis would like me to point out. And then now I can click to use an e-check. Now I can give my checking account information, which is secure. It's like anything else. It's all encrypted. And so you go through and put in your routing number, your account number, the name of the bank. You can click save this account so you don't have to do all this next time. This donation is just, notice how it always defaults to general budget, which just means it goes into the general offering. But if you want to click Lottie Moon or you have something to do with student ministry, there's our address. Please send a Christmas card. And then you click authorize. And once you click authorize, then that it's done, and then you'll get a receipt online and so forth. So it's really a cool operation. I love online giving; it makes it so much simpler and so forth. So anyway, we'll be talking more about it through the month of January, but we wanted to have it in time for Lottie Moon because it helps us to. We wanted to make it easier. We wanted everybody to have the opportunity to give. Because if there's anything that I think is worthwhile to give, it's this offering. I've met the missionaries who I know this goes to. I know how dependent they are on it. And I know how these resources are used to reach people with the gospel. And for those of us who don't have the opportunity to go overseas and serve, it gives us the opportunity to help those who do. Well, today is Advent, Sunday 2. And today we are going to light the candle of peace. Last week, we talked about the candle for hope, and I explained that Advent is really, it's all about waiting. It's all about this anxious anticipation of what is to come. And one of the things that happens when we are anxiously waiting for something to come is we become anxious. It kind of goes with the term. I don't know, when we had calendars at home, Advent calendars, and we would mark off the days till Christmas or whatever, there would be, it would like you would get, you would like drag on. It would seem like it took forever for Christmas to get here as a child. Now, as an adult, it seems like it goes from December 1 to December 25. There it is. But as a child, it was like molasses being poured in on a cold winter day. It was just really, 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 really slow. Well, if you can imagine being promised that a Messiah is going to come and that all your problems are going to be fixed when this Messiah gets here, how long that would take when you have suffering. And your parents would die. Your grandparents had already died. Your great-grandparents and grandparents and your parents have died. And then you get older and it looks like you're going to die and still no Messiah. When we get promised something, we just automatically assume it's going to happen in our lifetime. But can you imagine waiting for promises, hoping for things that probably won't happen in your lifetime? Well, we have that, actually. And it's called the second coming of Christ. Generations of people have said Jesus is going to come. And they all say, it really feels like it's close. It really feels like it could happen. People today, you'll see it, if you hear religious people talking, they'll say, it feels like Jesus is going to come anytime. And he doesn't. You know, when the year 2000 was coming, he's going to come in the year 2000. 2012, he's going to come in the year 2012. And all these different, I remember in 1988, there were 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 88. And the guy sold millions of copies of his book. He wrote a book the next year called 89 Reasons That Jesus Is Going to, didn't sell as well. But the point is that this anxiousness, this anxiety is needs to be replaced with a sense of peace. And why we focus on peace at Advent is because it is the Prince of Peace we are expecting. It is God who says to us, trust in me. Trust in me. I have always done what I said I was going to do, as I said I would do it. And so I always will. He's unchanging. And so during this time of year, not only do we have hope, but we pray for peace. Pray for peace, people everywhere. And we pray that this peace will pass, be a peace that passes understanding, only a peace that comes from God. So if you're anxious during this time of year, it's a reminder that good things come in time because Jesus did come. God did send the Messiah. That those prayers and dreams and hopes and anxiousness were met with a reality of Jesus. And so that's what we look for today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for the peace that you give us that passes understanding. A peace that comes from knowing that you, Lord, always do what you say you're going to do. Father, thank you for the grace that you've shown us, for how you've answered our prayers in the past. And may now any of us who are feeling anxious about how things are going to turn out, how all this is going to go, are you going to fix all these things? Lord, may we rest in the truth that when you promised a Messiah would come, Lord, you did send your Son. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you we have an opportunity to celebrate that. In Jesus' name, amen. And for those of you who weren't here last week, we light each candle each week. Next week, we will light the candle of joy. And the week after that, we'll light the candle of love. And then that night on December 24th, on Christmas Eve, we will all gather here at 6 o'clock and we will light the Christ candle, which is the white candle in the middle. And we will each light our candle. We'll take communion together and we'll light our candles off of and have a candlelight service where the light of Christ is then spread to us. It's a beautiful service. It doesn't last very long, just a little over a half hour. But it'll be a great time for you to come and celebrate Christmas with us. So I hope you will be here. Today, we are talking about another song that kind of spoke to me years ago. I mentioned last week that I used to sing Christmas songs that were meaningful to me each year, and I gave that up. People paid me not to sing, so I don't ask for that anymore, unless you want to. There were songs that spoke to me that were very meaningful. Last week we talked about Mary, Did You Know? There's a song by Michael Card called The Final Word. And And the final word was, I'll just share a little bit about the lyrics. Michael Card is a Western Kentucky graduate and just a brilliant songwriter. He's up in the mountains of Tennessee now and has a neat ministry that he does. But he shared, wrote this song, which these are some of the lyrics from it. It says, "You and me, we use so very many clumsy words. The noise of what we often say is not worth being heard. When the Father's wisdom wanted to communicate his love, he spoke it in one final perfect word. He spoke the incarnation and then so was born the Son. His final word was Jesus. He needed no other one. Spoke flesh and blood so he could bleed and make a way divine. And so was born the baby who would die to make it mine." And he has this, the bridge, he says, "And so the light became alive and manna became man. Eternity stepped into time so we could understand." And this reference to manna was really cool because manna is one of those things in the Bible that we don't have an explanation for. Nobody had seen it before. Nobody has seen it since. It was something that God provided to feed. And a reality about God comes into play. And that is that God has the ability to speak things into existence. He has the ability to say, be, and it is. You know, in Genesis 1, we have God speaking the world into existence. He says, "Let there be light," and there is light. And so in the same way, he speaks Jesus into existence. And that was the last thing he spoke. When he spoke into creation, you have all this, and the reason why manna was neat, because manna was something we hadn't seen before. But since that time, everything is accounted for, meaning that everything we have in the world, we've always had in the world. And so, but then he speaks Jesus, and that is his final word. And there's no better place in the Bible. And let me just say, one of my favorite Christmas stories is in John chapter 1. And most people think of Luke 2 or Matthew, and then they go to those Gospels for the story of Jesus' birth. But to really get an idea, a grasp of what took place when the Messiah was sent to this earth, I think the Gospel of John is so imperative because John is like there at all the major events in Jesus' life. He's even there when Jesus is crucified. He has this incredibly intimate relationship with Jesus. And so as he communicates this to us about what actually happened, it's not just Bethlehem, it's like creation. It's like he's saying, this is so huge. It's like creation part two. And look at what he says in John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it." Now look at verse 9. He says, "The true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Pray with me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Word. And just pray this morning, God, that we would come to a deeper understanding of who you are and what this means, what this time of year is about when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Lord, the incarnation. Lord, what a word. Lord, we just pray that you'll help us to have a deeper understanding of you being in our world and what all that means for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, how do we get peace from God coming into the world? There's an expression that I use and you've heard, and it's called the difference between daylight and dark. I don't know if you say this, but when I see people doing one job, or, you know, this person coaching versus a different person coaching, or this person working on a house versus that person working on a house. I'll use that expression. What was the difference between daylight and dark? And sometimes when I'm describing people's children or even my own children, I'll use the expression, because we're just trying to show a stark contrast. But, you know, it reminds me of how different our world was before we put lights in, before electricity, before the advent of the light bulb, and how dark is. And I don't know if you've ever, you know, we get a little taste of it when there's a power outage and you're trying to fumble around, trying to find things and so forth. And you wish you had, and you have candles, and you realize, how did people exist or survive during this era of time when you can't see anything? You definitely didn't have Walmart open 24 hours a day without electricity. So things like, how would we even make it during that time period without lights? We were down in Texas and during the hurricane thing, and they'd have power outages and so forth, but we had lights. But have you ever been in a strange place in the middle of the night and you have to go to the bathroom, and you discover that you don't know how to find the light switch, and so you're fumbling through everything and stubbing toes and falling over things and breaking things and whatever, trying to find it. And then you finally find that light switch, and it's like, finally, you know, and you turn light, and it's painful, you know, because you've been in the dark, and when you turn that light on, and you've got that sudden burst of light, and you're glad that the light's there so you can see, but your eyes are not prepared for it. But I also noticed that there were creatures in the dark that were enjoying the darkness. They had cockroaches the size of mice. They were some of the largest cockroaches I'd ever seen. And it's like they take a moment and they look at me like, hey, what are you doing here? And then scamper off into the darkness. Well, I'm sleeping in the sanctuary where these nice cockroaches are residing. And I'm thinking to myself, as I leave the bathroom, getting ready to turn that switch off, I'm thinking, they're going to get comfortable again if I turn the switch off. And these look like the kind of cockroaches that could eat you in your sleep. And so I'm not real comfortable just making them comfortable. So I think, you know what? I think I can sleep with the light on. I think I'm okay with that. I think I could probably get more sleep with light than I could in darkness. Because when you are somebody who dwells in the light, we draw comfort from it. We like a world with light. We like to be able to see. When we're not trying to hide anything, when we have come to peace with who we are and the life that we have and are good with us, then we like light. And I wish everybody, you know, everybody has been in darkness at one point or another, but light is so much better. Light is so much better. And I think sometimes we feel like people who we can't turn the lights on because we're afraid of what people will see about us. But you know what? Once it's over, it's painful at first. But once you get used to it, and people get used to it, and they see who you are and what you are and what your life is about, it's really okay. We can move on from there. And that's the great thing about Jesus, is that Jesus always sees us. He even sees us in the dark. He knows what we look like. He knows what we're going to look like when the lights come on. And he's not afraid of us. In fact, he invites us to the light because he knows it will make our life so much better. Well, look, as John is saying, this is what the coming of Jesus was about. He says in verse 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Meaning before anything else happened, you had Jesus and God the Father, God the Son, together. It says, "All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created." Now think about that for a second. It means there's not one piece of matter in the universe that Jesus did not help craft. He is completely intimate with there. Things that we have no idea what's out there, he knows what's out there, and he knows it. So there's no surprises to him. He's at home in the universe. There's no strange place that he goes where he's surprised when a light is shining on it. It says, "Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it." overcome it. You know, in a battle between light and dark, light always wins. Light always wins. Have you ever turned a flashlight on that worked and the flashlight came on and the darkness overwhelmed it? The light couldn't go anywhere because, no, light always wins. When we turn these lights on, we fully expect it will illuminate the room because light always wins. And that's what Jesus brought into the world. Biggest contrast of all, difference between daylight and dark, just when Jesus came in the world, the difference between Jesus being in the world and Jesus not being in the world was this one of the starkest, is the starkest contrast of all creation, of all mankind. And he comes, and not only does he come into the world, but he brings with it life. And the only people who are not feeling comfortable when Jesus comes in the room, the reason why it causes pain is because we have been in the darkness for so long that we've just grown accustomed to it. So here's what I think the word is telling us. Don't be a cockroach. Just as simple as that. Here's your Christmas message. Don't be a cockroach. Don't be one who loves the dark so much that when it comes on, you just hide from it. When people begin to talk about Jesus or to introduce truth into your life, truth that will set you free, don't run from it. Don't run from it. Embrace it. Know that there is a peace that comes. There's a peace because a lot of the anxiousness I have in my life and so forth, when I was a person who hid things from people, when I was a person who deceived my parents, when I was a person who deceived my school teachers, when I was a person who walked in deception, I was filled with anxiety. And I meet so many people today whose lives are filled with anxiety because they're hiding so many things. They have so many things in the dark. They don't want coming to light. They don't want to come to light. And my wife the other day, she said, why do you get so upset when I grab your phone? She goes, why do you get so upset when I grab your phone? Are you trying to hide something from me? And I said, no, you can look at anything on my phone. I've got nothing on my phone I'm trying to hide. I'm afraid you'll break it. That's why I get upset when you grab it, because you've broken several phones over time, and it's important to me, and I just don't want it broken. But there's nothing hidden on there, and that's the way our lives should be. There shouldn't be things that are hidden, so forth. So don't be a cockroach, because in light is life. In light is life, and a peace, that peace that we're looking for from God. So next thing we look at is that it's coming home for the holidays. You know, there's a song that's called There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays. Well, that means different things to different people. I don't know where you guys celebrate your holidays, but there are some homes I go to for the holidays where when I say there's no place like home, that may be a bad statement versus a good statement, meaning I may not have the best of times when I'm in that place celebrating the holiday. There's some family established traditions that are painful for me. I guess that's the nicest way I can put that. I don't look forward to going there, but I understand what people are saying when they want to come home for the holiday, because I've been in family celebrations where I was a stranger, where I was not part of the group, where I had no idea. You know, everybody has inside jokes and everybody has little things that they're doing, and you're kind of there figuring it out, you know, especially when you first got married and you're now in a new family and you're like, hey, it's you and new son-in-law, and they get my name wrong and don't know my name and then do things, you know, you're trying to, and they got weird traditions, you know, the things that they do, and you're thinking, these people, what have I married into? This is extremely strange, especially when your wife, she's part of them. So she just looks and she's not great. So now you're just it. You're alone. You're out on the circle looking for another brother-in-law who feels just as strange. But we don't like being strangers. We don't like being estranged. We definitely do not like being estranged from our own family. We don't like being cut out of something we once were a part of. Well, when Jesus came into this world, he was a stranger. I mean, he wasn't even born at home. He was born while traveling with his parents. I mean, his parents were traveling, and she was pregnant with him. And so in a strange city, in a barn, in a feeding trough, he comes into this world. And so welcome to the world. You don't even have a home. And within just a little bit of time after he goes home, angels are trying to find a temporary place to live. They don't even go back home. But angels come and warn his dad that bad things are going to happen, that there's a king who's coming and going to kill children. And so they have to flee to a different country. So again, he's a stranger in a foreign land. But think more than that. He's not even from here.
He's from heaven, from this amazing place where he dwelt with his Father for all eternity, and now he's come here in a strange place, and people don't understand him. Even though he understands people, they don't understand him. They don't welcome him. They don't make him feel a part of who they are. But something, he did something amazing. He made everybody who didn't feel a part of this world, he made every misfit, every person who didn't belong, every person who didn't have family, he gave them a family. Every person who didn't have a home, who realized this really isn't our home, who felt uncomfortable with this home, a place where everybody dies and there's all types of suffering, he's like, wouldn't you like a better place than this? And he offered that to people. He made that a reality for people. And so he is a champion. That's why poor people loved him. That's why people whose lives were all messed up loved him. That's why people who were sick and afflicted, who had diseases and who were cast out of society, that's why they loved him, because people who had no home, people who had no family, people who did not belong, he made them belong. And look, and John says this in some very poetic fashion. He says in verse 9, he says, "The true light who gives light to everyone." Isn't that something? Not just certain people that meet a certain standard. He gives it to, it's free, he's just giving it out. He says, I think light changes lives, and I think light really brings life, and I think your life can be really special, and I just want to give it to you. He gives it to everyone. He says, the true light who gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Meaning that he was Jewish, and part of this Jewish, he was born in the Jewish line, but even they rejected him, did not receive him as a Jew. It says, but to all who did receive him, to all who were willing to be connected to him, all who were willing to have conversation with him, to all who were willing to walk with him, it said, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, meaning they didn't have the same parents, nor the will of flesh. I mean, it wasn't something that some court decided or some men decided or anything like that. Or of the will of man. It wasn't anything in any establishment of mankind that said, this is the way it has to be, but of God. Meaning God simply said, you are family. You're family. Just because I want to make you part of my family. And he extended that to everyone. That's why we call it good news, because we take that gospel to everyone. And so not only do I tell you not to be a cockroach this Christmas season, but don't be a stranger. Don't be a stranger to Jesus. I mean, if there's anybody you should not run away from, it's Jesus. I don't know what kind of Jesus has been communicated to you in the past, but Jesus is pure love, always welcoming, always understanding. Now, if there's things in his life he tries to change about you, it's only because he looks at those things and thinks they're hurting you. He's just, and anybody who loves you would try to, I mean, if a doctor loved you and cared for you, he would at least tell you something's wrong with what you're doing if you're doing something that's hurting yourself. If you love people, you tell them, hey, that will hurt you. And Jesus will do that because he loves you, not to judge you, but to save you. So we have... difference between daylight and dark, that we need to come home for the holidays. And also, we find here that there's something new in a world where nothing is new. Solomon, when he wrote Ecclesiastes, said there's nothing new under the sun. And that's just wisdom that you've probably heard before. And there is nothing new under the sun. When you watch the news, when you see things happen, nothing's happening that hasn't happened before. People ask me all the time, do you think the world is worse than it's ever been? And I say, no, it's always been bad. From the moment when Cain killed Abel, I mean, it was so bad when Noah was around that God killed everybody and started over again. It was so bad when Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah that he exterminated two cities from the planet, from existence. It's been bad forever. Just faces, just more bad people. We have a larger number of bad people, but there's always been evil. Evil since the fall of man. Since even before the fall of man, there was evil. It was just, it was relegated to the heavens. And now when Satan brought it to us, things have always been bad. So no, it's not getting worse. It's just getting more frequent as we get to the end of time. But like I said earlier, there is something new that God brought into the world. Now, not today, but this is what we're celebrating. The reason why we have this celebration is over 2,000 years ago. God spoke into existence a baby conceived of the Holy Spirit. Now, people try to say the virgin birth is not important, but it is. And this is why, because it was God speaking Jesus into existence through the Holy Spirit into Mary. Meaning he created his son in the form of flesh. God became man. God became man. Look with me in this last verse, 14. It says, the Word became flesh. This Word who created everything, this Word who was there in the beginning with God, this Word who was responsible for making all the planets of the universe, all the stars in the universe, all the galaxies, and if there are more universes, he's responsible for all of it. He became flesh. He became a man and took up residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You hear that? Isn't it amazing that we have this God who basically the world has just been like a box of Legos that just get rearranged. And now all of a sudden, a new piece is brought in to change everything. So God speaks Jesus into existence, and now all we have to do is believe him. Believe that he is exactly who he claims to be, that he is God, and that he can save us, that he does want us to be in our family, that the light is good, and that there is life in it. So don't be a cockroach, don't be a stranger, and don't be left behind. Don't be left behind. This isn't going back to the Tim LaHaye, Jerry Jenkins novels or whatever. This is not the Left Behind series. This means that God has come into this world and brought good news, and people begin to follow Jesus and believe him. And he commissions his disciples and says, go out and call the people to follow you. And they go follow him, and lives are changed. And they're not left behind. But if you stay in the darkness, if you refuse to receive this peace that comes from being in life, you refuse to receive this peace that comes from being a part of God's family, if you refuse to receive this peace that comes from putting your trust in this new covenant, this new promise, then you'll get left behind. So here's the questions I want to end with today. First of all, are you at peace with the light of God? Are you afraid of the light? Are you cool with it? Are you okay if the light gets turned on in your life and people see you for who you really are? Or are you running from it? It's time to be at peace with it. Are you at peace with the family of God? Do you have trouble integrating with God's people that we're called to love? Do you have trouble loving people? Do you have trouble being loved by people, being a part of God's family? And are you at peace with the new covenant of God? Meaning, are you still trying to get the old covenant was that you had a list of things that you had to do and you had to do those to perfection? Are you still trying to do that? Are you still trying to do everything perfectly so that God will be pleased? Or do you understand this new covenant that he says, look, I'm just going to give it to you. I'm just going to give you life. I'm not going to make you earn it. I'm just going to give it to you. Are you at peace with that? Can you just receive it? You just receive that new life and then live it. Live a new life given to you by God. Because if you don't have peace with these things, then all this is kind of in vain. This whole celebration, of course, it's not really a celebration at that point, is it? Your best hope is a good Christmas present. And your up or down depends on what you're getting December 25th. Whereas if you have peace with the light, if you have peace with the family of God, if you have peace with this new covenant of eternal life, then what happens today, tomorrow in this world doesn't matter, does it? You have all that you need. Pray with me. Father, we just thank you, God, for how great, amazing you are. And just pray this morning that we would come and receive the peace that only comes from you. Only comes from knowing you. Father, I just pray that we would be honest with ourselves whether we do have peace in our lives. Whether if there's anxiousness, if there's upset, if there's stress, if there's just we're constantly just enraged or depressed or something's just bothering us all the time. Father, show us that. Help us to be honest with ourselves. And maybe just ask ourselves these questions. Am I trying to hide from something? Am I trying to hide something from others? Am I trying to hide something from God? Am I at odds with somebody in his family? Do I need to make peace with my brothers and sisters in the family of God? Or am I completely just at odds with God himself and this whole plan of salvation? And Lord, may we crave the peace that you give, and may we come to you and receive it. May we believe that you died on a cross for our sins and we are forgiven, that you were resurrected so that we have the hope of eternal life. And today, may we put our hope in you, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.